One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten.
Welcome to the NBA Daily Ding on the Athletic NBA Show.
Ding, ding!
How about we can just watch basketball?
I like that idea.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Ding on the Athletic NBA Show. I'm Dave DeFore here with Keith Parrish for your weekend update. Coming up, the Nets stay hot, but they might have lost KD. Jaren Jackson is insane, Keith, and the Pacers keep pushing. Before we start, don't forget you can get this podcast without ads by subscribing at theathletic.com/NBA show. Keith, on later today's episode of the Basketball Buds, they posed the question, are the Lakers just like an okay basketball team? So if you guys are wondering why we're not hitting the Lakers after they go 2-0 and a couple of good wins, they beat the Hawks, they beat the Kings, well, there you go. They talk about them on Basketball Buds coming up right after this. But Keith, I got a question for you. Yeah. The Brooklyn Nets have won 18 of their last 20, including a clutch win over the Miami Heat on Sunday night in Miami. Is that good?
Yes, Dave, that's very good. That's the first time in Nets history they've won 18 to 20 games. I could fall back into the old NBA analyst cliche and say, well, you got to show it to me in the playoffs. But that's an absurd thing to say after a 90% win percentage spread over 20 games. This Nets team is incredible. But like you said, we're waiting. We'll be waiting until Monday for further injury updates where Kevin Durant, Jimmy Butler fell into his knee a few plays after the play that should be eliminated from basketball, the charge, a Kyle Lowry charge, had a knee, Kevin Durant banged knees on that one, was already looking a little limited. And so now, like, the bigger question is going to be this Nets team, which has had a roller coaster of a season on and off the court. Is this winning 18 of 20 games? Now we're holding our breath to see, like, what does the future hold, in fact, with our injury? Because this, in fact, was just a Sunday matinee affair against one Miami Heat.
Well, let's get to the game because, you know, we'll talk KD injury at the end of this little segment. But Brooklyn got a win and the game was basically tied when KD left the game in the middle of the third quarter. And I got to say, during this run, Kyrie Irving has just been spectacular. And he was no less than that in this game tonight, Keith.
Yeah, I mean, Kyrie's been playing like a superstar, the superstar that he is. And he made a decision at the end of the game. He kind of quick shot it. He went up from three, several feet behind the line with about 8 seconds left. It worked out. That's one of those where, hey, you might make the shot, but also basically every three-pointer, there's like a, I don't know, 25% chance you might get the offensive rebound, and Royce O'Neal does, has the go-ahead bucket, so it works out for Kyrie there. The interesting thing that the last two-minute report is going to tell us on Monday was Jimmy Butler fouled at the end because Jimmy Butler drove into the lane. Royce O'Neal tried to draw inspiration from the legend of Roy Hibbert with some verticality. Not sure he got there. There was a little collision, but the whistle was not blown and the Nets escape with that precious victory.
Yeah, and also on that play on the far side of the court from the ball, Keith, Tyler Hero actually went down and, you know, I watched the video of him limping off the court and he looked to be rubbing his calf. So maybe something there that might pop up tomorrow on Miami's injury report. And of course, they've just been riddled with injuries all season long. And when you look at their record, it shows in their record, Keith, because they're not very good.
Right. The Heat, honestly, outside of the Tyler Hero injury and, you know, hoping he's not going to miss any time. But I think the Heat, if you're a moral victory person, I feel like you could take a moral victory that you stood toe-to-toe with one of the best teams in the Eastern Conference and one of the hottest teams in the NBA, arguably the hottest team in the NBA. I mean, the Nets over their last 15 games or so, definitely by far the best net rating in the NBA, best record, and, like, they've been crushing it. So for the Heat, who've had a tough year, to go down to the wire, and, like, they had a lead in this game, and Hero was a big part of that, had a nice game. So I know, you know, you don't want to take maybe moral victories from a loss, but, like, the Heat showed. Man, we still have Jimmy Butler. We still have Bam Adebayo. You know, we still have Eric Spoelstra on the sideline. Hopefully they can work stuff out. But I guess technically they actually have to win basketball games because right now they are slip sliding and not in a very good spot in the standings.
Yeah, and right now as we record this, Brooklyn 27-13. They're one game back. They're sitting in the two seed right now, Keith. So let's mark this date. We don't know yet what's going to come back on KD's injury. He's supposed to have an MRI on Monday. That's per Jacques Vaughn, head coach of the Nets. And so, you know, we're all hoping for good news, but I'm guessing, look, when you leave with a knee injury like that, and he certainly looked to be in a little bit of pain, discomfort, given his injury history, this is the second year in a row that he's had someone just roll into his leg. I mean, look, there's an epidemic of guys falling when they maybe shouldn't. And I'm not going to sit here and try to cast aspersions or say, hey, Jimmy Butler didn't have to fall like that. I think that it's endemic in the league where guys just kind of fall all the time in ways that they didn't used to. So maybe, you know, look, maybe this is something that the league should take a look at. KD is obviously, this is bad luck on his part for it to happen more than once, but this happens all the time. Happened to Joel Embiid. You know, Joel Embiid last year in the playoffs did this to my guy, Danny Green, and now he's going to have to be the playoff hero for the Memphis Grizzlies because, you know, he's sitting out for the whole season. So, you know, Keith, bad luck for KD, bad luck for the Nets, but this 18 of 20, you know, stretch they just went on, this is going to be a nice buffer for them.
As far as all the bodies hitting the floor, I still blame Dwayne Wade. Fall down 7, get up 8.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former sports center anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
Are you struggling to close deals? B2B selling is tougher than ever, and that's why I want to tell you about LinkedIn Sales Navigator. LinkedIn Sales Navigator is a sales intelligence platform that helps professionals effectively prospect and engage high-value customers, drive higher revenue, and increase sales performance. Sales Navigator helps you target the right buyers, surface key signals, and show you hidden allies so that you can find those buyers that are most likely to convert. Fueled by LinkedIn's 1 billion member platform, Sales Navigator gives you the most up-to-date, first-party data, enabling you to unlock conversations with people that matter. Right now, you can try LinkedIn Sales Navigator and get a 60-day free trial at linkedin.com/NBAshow23. That's linkedin.com/NBAshow23. For a 60-day free trial. Let LinkedIn Sales Navigator help you sell like a superstar today. Just go to linkedin.com/NBAshow23 and get started.
Keith, Jaren Jackson was absolutely dominant in the fourth quarter on Sunday. The Grizzlies have the current longest win streak after picking up their sixth straight against the totally okay Utah Jazz on Sunday. Keith, look, he fouled out in this game, but he earned it. That was just, he crushed in the fourth quarter of this game.
I would like the listeners of the Daily Ding to know, because I feel like a lot of general NBA fans maybe don't know this. They have this perception of Jaren Jackson Jr., which is incorrect. This was Jaren Jackson Jr.'s first foul out of this season, okay? The foul issues are way overblown. The defensive aptitude of this man, not overblown. Basically cannot be overstated. Jaren Jackson Jr. is destroying the league right now. And I know maybe not everyone tunes into all the Grizzlies games, and you saw him on Christmas get destroyed by the Warriors, and Jaren was in foul trouble that game. But right now, Jaren has these historic numbers, and his block percentage is the highest ever recorded. Yes, he hasn't played enough games yet to count, but it's like he's leading the NBA in blocks per game. He's leading the NBA in blocks and steals per game. He had 5 blocks, 3 steals in this one. Also, by the way, 19 points, 9 rebounds, and the Grizzlies just keep winning.
Yeah, and he, again, down the stretch, he was attacking the basket off the dribble. I mean, this is where people start to make those Kevin Garnett comparisons. The way that he attacks off the dribble down, getting downhill, and then with the defensive acumen as well. But Tyus Jones got the start in this one for Ja Morant. Easy performance for him. 21 points, 6 assists, only 1 turnover. Keith, this guy is essentially like having a second starting point guard just sitting on your bench.
Yeah, honestly, I'm a little disappointed in Tyus. He came into the game with 29 straight assists with no turnovers, and he turned one over. And I feel like I hold him to a higher standard. And so I just, you know, I wish he could have done more. But it's a great luxury, obviously, having Tyus Jones, who can step in on a game for the Grizzlies when there is no Ja Morant, when he's resting. I don't know. He's hurt, but he's going to probably play on the back-to-back on Monday against the Spurs. No Steven Adams, no Brandon Clark. And you have guys step up. Desmond Bane, who hasn't been totally back to his normal self since returning from a toe injury. Bane had a career-high 9 assists. And the Grizzlies, man, they're built for the regular season. They've figured things out. And it feels like every year under Taylor Jenkins now, they put together these win streaks in December and January. Obviously, last year, they had the second-best record in the NBA. And right now, they're kind of putting something together again. It feels like running off all these wins.
Well, their identity is pretty clear. Try not to turn the ball over and try to take more shots than the other team. I mean, the offensive rebounding numbers, they didn't have Steven Adams in this game, Keith. They still won on the glass. I mean, a 13-8 offensive rebounding advantage. And so when you can do things like that, it makes it easy for you, especially when you hit 15 of 38 threes, Keith. This team is just shooting the lights out.
Yeah, when the Grizzlies make their three-pointers, you're basically not going to win. Sorry, everybody. But I want to go back to Jaren and, like, the games thing. And I got to say, I'm very biased. I'm too close to the situation to think about it reasonably. But when people start throwing out their all-star reserve ideas, and they keep chucking out these names of the guys, like, hey, this guy averages 20 points on a team that's 500. This guy averages 20 points on a team that's 500. And I'm like, this man, Jaren Jackson Jr., has already won 16 games. Are you holding the games against him? He averages 17 points per game, but also 3 blocks and a steal per game. Teams shoot 40% when he's on the court. His opponents are shooting 40% when he's on the court. Like, he's having a Defensive Player of the Year campaign. I think he might win it, but, like, give the man your all-star recognition. Stop saying, oh, Larry Markkanen's scoring a lot of points. Watch what Larry Markkanen did against Jaren. It wasn't pretty. It was not pretty.
It was an ugly 21, Keith, safe to say.
Yeah.
Now, another team that we just cannot get rid of, the Indiana Pacers went 2-0 over the weekend thanks to 29 points, a clutch three-point play, and an even more clutch block by Miles Turner to seal the deal, putting the Pacers over the Hornets, 116-111. This was Miles Turner's game, Keith. He was all over the place.
Miles Turner is having an amazing year. And the way this one went down, like you said, like this was a game where the Hornets were up and then it was a seesaw battle, very exciting final minutes. And Miles Turner's having all this offensive success. Maybe it is just being the lone big. Maybe it is Tyrese Halliburton being a perfect assist partner. I mean, Tyrese Halliburton, kids, go watch the highlight where he does the fake alley-oop to no one to just freeze the defense and then drops it up to Miles Turner. I mean, amazing stuff. Oh, amazing stuff from Halliburton.
Notes. Just blowing the whole show
A very worthy All-Star nominee, by the way.
We got to talk about Halliburton. Listen, his 16 points, 13 assists, 5 rebounds. He was absolutely dealing in the pick and roll. I mean, Miles Turner is a perfect partner for him. His ability to pick and pop, and he's so great as a dive man. And Halliburton just finds shooters when Turner isn't open. I mean, this is like a legitimate offense that they're running, and having shooters like Buddy Hield out there with him. Tyrese Halliburton's a legit all-star. I think Miles Turner might be an all-star.
He's fantastic. Halliburton's fantastic. And yeah, the Hornets, not known for stopping the other team.
They're scrappy.
The thing I liked about this win for the Pacers is we've seen this now, you know, we're halfway through the season. A lot of these fun stories, some of them aren't going as well as they were, like the Utah Jazz. They're starting to lose way more than they're winning. And you're seeing some teams settle back down, like, maybe the Kings aren't winning as much as they were, and the Trailblazers, there's some settling, all right? But the Pacers, they don't seem to be settling. And they found themselves losing to a team they're supposed to beat on Sunday. And they're like, you know what? We just got to score every possession. We're going to do it. And they did it. And then up 3 in the final seconds when Mason Plumlee decides, you know what? I'm going to take a quick, easy dunk just to cut it to 1. I'm going to go for the quick 2. Shout out Seth Partnow in this final possession. And Miles Turner said, no. Somehow I'm going to block this dunk that you don't think is possible. And yeah, I mean, honestly, I haven't sat down and done my my 12 spots in each conference who I think should be the All-Stars. But you got to think Halliburton's in, and Miles Turner's making a huge case to also be there.
Yeah, absolutely. Also, we got to give a shout-out to the Minnesota Timberwolves. 2-0 over the weekend. They've won 4 straight. They had lost 6 straight before that. Seems like they're kind of figuring things out. Now, I don't want to give them too much credit, Keith. They beat the Clippers, who I think we might feel like they're not that good. And then they beat the Rockets, and they were behind late. And now that was a game that they could have slept on and fallen apart, but they didn't. They came back. They win it. 21 points from Anthony Edwards, 22 points from D'Angelo Russell. Better Rudy Gobert here recently. Keith, are the Timberwolves coming on or what?
I think they're just learning some things about themselves, and I think they obviously had that well-publicized players-only meeting, and they've gotten results since that. I mean, some of it is Gobert's been a monster. Gobert's been a monster the past two games, and a lot of it is just putting the ball in Anthony Edwards' hands and just let him do his thing. And much like the Pacers got down to business when they had to against the Hornets, I give the Timberwolves credit. You know, you're playing a Rockets team, which is sporadic, erratic, not that much fun to watch, honestly, despite the incredible dunks from all their players. But, like, they buckled down. The Timberwolves buckled down. They held the Rockets to 36 points total, or 34 points total in the second half. And, you know, the Timberwolves are starting to find themselves. They're in that play-in battle. They want to be more. And right now, you have that morass with your Lakers peeking in. You have the Suns, who lost on Sunday again. Like, they're down there, and you got this bunch of teams where it's going to be a very exciting end to this second half of the season as those teams fight and claw for those final spots.
Yeah, it's pretty funny to look at the standings and see that the Warriors, the Suns, the Timberwolves, the Blazers, and the Lakers all roughly have the same record. I mean, At this point of the season, we really thought that the good teams in there would have separated themselves. But, you know, hey, man, it's been a weird year for injuries. Well, that's going to do it for today's show, folks. Thank you guys for listening. For Keith Parrish, I'm Dave DeFore. Keith, get out of here.
Dang, dang.